They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained, hand and foot, but he tore the chain apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the bonds and in the hills, tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the men went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed.
Now, hopefully you should have received a coloured piece of paper. Did everyone get a coloured piece of paper? Did anyone not get one? You've lost your bit of paper. You got given it like 10 minutes ago. Anyone need a bit of paper? Oh, Paula. Do you want a blue one? Anyone else? Oh. Anyone? Oh, okay. John's got some paper. Okay, now. You need to do something for me. If you have a green bit of paper, I'd like you to go and sit on that side of the church. If you've got an orange bit of paper, I'd like you to go and sit on that side of the church. I say please. Please. If you've got a pink bit of paper, I'd like you to just sit in this bit here. And if you've got a blue bit, in this bit here. Okay, so that's, I don't remember what I said. Green, orange, pink and blue. Sylvia, you're on the wrong side. I don't want to be picky, but you know, we've got rules here. Are you getting worried? You're all right, but you're the only one in the band. Okay. Do you like your newfound seats? Did you prefer being over there? You do. Would you like to pick your seats, or would you prefer that each Sunday I give you a bit of paper and you sit in specific sections? Would you like that? Yeah? A few people like that. Who would like to be able to pick where they sit? Quite a few of you. Okay, who likes their specific seat? Oh, no one? That's funny, because you all sit in specific seats. You're like, okay, you do. likes to choose? You like to choose. Do you want to stay where you are, or would you like to go back to your seat? Stay where you are, because you didn't move. I'll let you go to be wherever you want. You can move back if you want.
Oh, I want to choose. I'm going to choose not to listen to you, Kate.
Oh, a few. Oh, yeah, well, of course, you might have to sing, Verity, I guess. Generally, we don't like being told what to do. I mean, you know, it's a silly little thing, isn't it, moving seats. But, you know, some of you probably received the coloured card and I said, we're going to have to move, and you're like, oh, no, but I have my seat and I'm comfortable. Because we like to sit in our own seats. But more importantly, at the end of the day, we like to have the freedom to choose where we sit, but to choose what we do and to choose when we do it. We want to have the freedom to own our own lives and do what we want with our own lives. And often we hate it when we're told to do something we don't want to do. We don't like that because our freedom is a very important thing. It's very important for us to feel we have the freedom to do what we want to do. I don't know whether any of you remember specifically the events of the 11th of February, 1990. I remember them because 2 years before that, I was with a group of people watching the Nelson Mandela concert, singing Free Nelson Mandela in my living room. 2 years later, 11th of February, 1990, Nelson Mandela was freed from prison after spending 27 years in captivity. 18 of those years were on Robben Island, where most of the time he was kept in his own cell, but then went out to do hard labour. On Robben Island, he was allowed one visitor and one letter every 6 months, and if the guards didn't want that, they would take that privilege away. So it was quite harsh conditions. When Nelson Mandela was released, I don't know whether you remember, but people were dancing in the streets. It was broadcast live on television, and people were literally dancing with joy in the streets. Because, of course, it didn't only mean freedom for him, but a lot of people thought it would mean freedom for them, a new way of life in South Africa. Over 50,000 people gathered to hear his first speech for 27 years. He was free. And people were excited because freedom is very important. So important that at his trial, Nelson Mandela famously quoted, well, he said a quote which was held and is famous. It says, I have cherished the idea of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an ideal which I hope to live for and to achieve, but if needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die. Because freedom is so important. And many people die for freedom. And therefore, we feel it, don't we, when people are held in captivity? Because we would hate to have that freedom taken away. There's different circumstances for captivity, of course. Just last year, 33 miners were rescued in Chile. They'd been trapped for 69 days when their main tunnel collapsed. They were stuck 2,300 feet underground, 4.5 miles inside the mine. And it was on television, of course, live. And when it first happened, everyone thought they were dead. But then they got a note come up and a camera, and you saw their faces. And then we were all sort of gripped. Were they going to get out? And we watched as each of them came up in a tiny shaft, which took 15 to 20 minutes to get up from where they were trapped. The rescue itself took 24 hours to get all 33 out, and they all came out alive and well. We were transfixed for a while because freedom is important, and being trapped is horrible. Recently in the news, there was the trial of Philip and Nancy Garrido, who kidnapped a young girl and held her for 18 years in their own backyard. She was 11 when she was kidnapped. She was 29 when she was discovered. All those years without freedom. And then, of course, there were high-profile cases in the 1980s. The journalist John McCarthy, who was kidnapped and held hostage in Lebanon for over 5 years with hardly any news. People wondered whether he was still alive. And then Terry Waite, who went over to secure the freedom of John McCarthy and others. And he was also kidnapped on the 20th of January 1987. And he was held for over 4 years. During their time of captivity, there were many campaigns to release them and keep the profile high, because freedom is so important. It's something we often take for granted in our country, because we have relative freedom. But it's something that's also vital to human existence. If we don't have freedom or the hope of freedom, we don't survive. And you know, that's why the story of the man with the evil spirit in the book of Mark is an exciting story. Because you see, although on one level it is a story about a man who had an evil spirit and Jesus helped him, it's also a story about freedom in general. It's a story where Jesus shows us what he's really all about. Or if you like, it's a story about what the kingdom of God is really here to do. What it's all about. Because you see, here was this man taken over with this evil spirit. We know it's an evil spirit because he greets Jesus with the words, "What do you want with me? Jesus, Son of the Most High." Only evil spirits really do that in the Bible. Other people are a bit confused about who Jesus is. But this spirit knows who Jesus is. But it's not clear who the spirit is. So Jesus asks, "What's your name?" And when we hear the Spirit's name, we get a better understanding of what this encounter is all about. Because the reply is this: "My name is Legion, for I am many." Now today this isn't really very significant for us. We just think, oh, there's lots of them, that's a bit scary. But in the time of Jesus, people who heard this exchange and then saw what Jesus did would have found greater significance in his actions. Because you see, just a century before the time of Jesus, the area in which this story took place had been overrun by the Romans. And not only that, but it had been overrun by the Romans, who had marched in their legions to take control. They'd come across in their legions and took control of the land. The people of the time had seen these controlling legions of Romans as the ultimate enemy, as Satan incarnate, coming to keep them all captive and keep them all down in the gutter. So when Jesus approached this man, a man with an evil spirit called Legion, people would have been alerted. Because this wasn't just an encounter with one man and an unfortunate herd of pigs who happened to be around. It was an encounter between Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of Man, and a whole history of captivity and dominance that the Jews had had to put up with for so long. Or if you like, it can be seen as an encounter between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Rome at the time. So you see, when Jesus cast out this evil spirit called Legion, and not only that, but cast out into a herd of pigs who were, of course, seen as unclean by the Jews of the time, and pigs who ran into the sea, which was seen as a place where monsters came from in the time. Jesus was helping a man who was trapped, but he was also showing on a bigger scale that when God arrived in a place that was under captivity, he didn't just let it stay that way. But he had the desire and the ability to bring release and freedom to all people. Or if you like, his kingdom was about a kingdom that was going to come and free people from the lives that they were in. Not just individuals, but people who were in a whole realm of captivity. He was coming to bring healing and restoration and wholeness. Or if you like, he was coming to bring a whole new way of life to everyone who came into contact with him. Now today, the kingdom of God, the place of freedom and justice and love and healing and restoration and wholeness, often seems a far cry from the world that we live in. A tiny thing in among all the pain and suffering and evil which seems to happen. But the kingdom of God is still here today. And a little bit scarily for us, it's mainly in the form of the church. We are part of the kingdom of God, part of that kingdom that comes to bring freedom and release and healing. That's us, the church of God, the body of Christ, in a world that so desperately needs it. We don't just come to church to sing a few songs and hear things for our own personal gratification. We come together because we are part of the kingdom of God. We live in a new kingdom, and our lives should proclaim that way of life, in the way that we live, in the way that we treat people, in the way that we think about others, in the time we spend praying for them. That is our role as the kingdom of God here on earth today. So we're going to spend a few minutes praying now for places and people who are in need of the kingdom of God to come, in need of meeting with Jesus' new way of life and way of being.